Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name.
Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thank you for listening again today. It's a blessing to me that you would tune in and listen to Believing the Bible. I pray the message is a blessing to you. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, Paul writes, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." My purpose in this broadcast is to teach the Bible, rightly divided, in order that men might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Sadly, so many that call themselves Christians today do not rightly divide the word or even understand what that means. In fact, many of them are even unaware of the very passage. But a common passage that is quoted frequently, and in fact I see on signs on churches all over, is in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Read that with me if you will. Verse 38 says, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." I see signs that say, "Obey Acts 2:38. And when I see that, I realize that the individuals that are worshiping in that church do not understand what that verse means, and they do not rightly divide the word of truth. Words mean things. Words in the Bible have specific meanings, and we have to understand every passage that it means what it says, as it says it, and where it says it. So that means there is a context in which the verse exists that is both historical and spiritual and also dispensational. In other words, the verse must apply in the dispensation in which it is given. So let's back up. We see that at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, it was the Feast of Pentecost, and in Jerusalem were gathered Jews. Notice in verse 5, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven." So I know that in the context of the events of Acts chapter 2, you have a Jewish feast day, Pentecost, in which Jews from all over the world have come to gather to celebrate and participate at Pentecost. And so the apostles begin to speak with tongues. It says in verse 6, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." So we had the speaking of tongues here. Verse 7, "And they," that would be the Jews, the devout men out of every nation under heaven, "they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." Did you notice the list of nations? The group of men hearing the preaching in their own languages are Jews from every nation under heaven. The list of nations there are pertaining to these Jews. Jews that had been scattered abroad under every nation were gathered together. Only Jews were hearing this as this event occurred. They were only speaking to Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. If you want to get technical and argue, well, there were Gentiles there because of proselytes, remember that a proselyte was a circumcised Gentile and was called a Jew, according to Romans chapter 2. So Peter and the 12 are accused of being drunk with new wine, and he begins to speak and say in verse 14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words, for these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel," and Peter begins to quote the book of Joel. He says, "You men of Judea." Now these are Jews out of every nation under heaven. If you ever wondered why an Israelite was called a Jew, it's because Judea is where the term comes from. Judea was that region of Israel that really included Judah, the tribe of Judah, and Benjamin. The Roman name was Judea. And therefore, people from that region were called Jews. And yet they dwelt in every nation under heaven, like he said, Parthia, Mede, Elamite, the Mesopotamians, Cappadocia, on and on. They were gathered together for this feast. Peter addresses Jews. He does not say, all you men of every nation. He says, all you men of Judea. And he begins to preach to them. Notice again in verse 22, he states, ye men of Israel, hear these words. He's reaffirming to whom he's speaking. He's speaking to Jews. And he quotes scripture to them. As he quoted the prophet Joel, he quotes from the Psalms, which were written by David. And then he says in verse 29, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. And he's referring to the fact that David wasn't speaking of himself not being left in hell, but of Christ, whose soul was not left in hell, in verse 31. But the men and brethren whom he addresses are Jews. He would never have called a Gentile a brethren. In fact, much later in Acts chapter 10, Peter is told to go to a Gentile man whose name is Cornelius, and he does not want to go. And when he gets there, he tells him, it's unlawful for me to be here. Why did you send for me? It's not as though Peter knows in Acts chapter 2 that it's okay for him to go to Gentiles. People argue, Matthew 28 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. But the Jew first had to hear the word. And once they became a nation of priests that would accept Christ as their high priest and king, then the Lord would return and make Israel the head of the nations and a kingdom of priests. Then and only then would they go out and teach the Gentile nations. So we have made it abundantly clear through three references in Acts chapter 2 that Peter is speaking to Jews and he's preaching to Jews. Now notice what he says as he summarizes his message. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, the men of Israel, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? In other words, they were convinced and convicted by Peter's preaching that they were guilty of the murder of their Christ. And here's the answer from Peter. Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you, every one of you Israelites, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now let's not stop there. If I'm going to put a sign in front of my church that says obey Acts 2:38, why not say obey Acts 2:38 through verse 45? In other words, let's read the rest of the passage. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39. For the promise is unto you, ye men of Israel, and to your children, the children of these men of Israel, and to all that are afar off, that would be the scattered of Israel. You can't put a Gentile in that passage. It's not what he's talking about. And he says, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, The context is Israel. Nothing has changed. He's speaking to Jews because the promise was unto Jews. You can't find in Genesis through Malachi, nor in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, a promise to Gentiles concerning the Holy Ghost. I dare you to try. He goes on, verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. The untoward generation is Israel. Jesus Christ said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. He meant that generation, those Jews that did not believe. That untoward generation was about to have the wrath of God poured upon them. Notice in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 1 says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? That would be the buildings of the temple. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He's referring to the destruction of the temple. Do you know why the temple was destroyed? Because Israel rejected their king. And he goes on to talk about the destruction of that time. Read the whole chapter of Matthew 24 and you'll see it. Israel was destroyed. Their kingdom was taken from them. Notice in Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse 43, Christ says to the leaders of Israel, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. He did speak of them. He was referring to the fact that they would be crushed by himself, the stone made without hands. Israel was destroyed in 70 AD by the Roman general Titus. That evil and adulterous generation was put away. That's why Peter said back in Acts chapter 2, save yourselves from this untoward generation. In order for those Jews at Jerusalem during Pentecost to be saved from the wrath to come that would fall upon Israel, they would have to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Now we'll get into remission in just a moment, but let's keep going. Back in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, let's look at the results. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. I'd say that's pretty good preaching. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. Why is it that churches who claim you must obey Acts 2:38 will not obey Acts 2:44 and 45? Those churches don't sell all that they have and part their goods and possessions to all men as every man has need. But the disciples did when Jesus Christ said to the rich young ruler, sell that you have, take up your cross and follow me. He meant what he said. He told the disciples in Matthew chapter 10, provide neither gold nor silver in your purses. Peter and John heal a man in Acts chapter 3, and he makes the statement, silver and gold have I none. That's because he had no money. Christ commanded them not to have money, and those that believed the preaching in Acts chapter 2 sold their goods and possessions. Why don't you do that? Men spiritualize those passages and try to make it look as though you don't have to do that today, but they did it. The reason why you don't do that, number one, is because you know in your heart that you can't survive if you did. And number two, those passages were not written to you. They're written to Israelites. He's preaching to Israelites. You cannot take that doctrine of the apostles there in Acts chapter 2 and apply it to you. Your apostle is Paul. the apostle of the Gentiles. You weren't commanded to sell all that you have. You were commanded to work with your hands to provide for them that need, and to lay up for your children, and to requite your parents when they get old. You are required to take care of your own house. And if you don't, Paul says you've denied the faith and are worse than an infidel. But Christ commanded the 12 not to worry about what they would wear or what they would eat, not to work jobs. They had to leave families and fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and love him more than them. And you try to apply and spiritualize those passages to you, and they won't work. We must rightly divide the word of truth. These individuals here were baptized with water. They had to be baptized for the remission of sins. I want you to listen to this song about the only water that matters to you. It's the washing of water by the Word. The holy river that will cleanse us is the Word of God.
Not long ago, I lived in darkness. I'd never seen. Sins away.
Yes, the blood of Christ took away all our sins. Water baptism is not the issue for you today. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Christ sent me not to baptize. Well, the 12 were certainly sent to baptize and commanded to do so in all the world. That baptism was for remission of sins. People get all bent out of shape over this word remission. That's because they say the Greek word translated remission also means forgiveness. Well, it does mean forgiveness, but it means remission, and those two words are not the same. We talk of cancer being in remission. That doesn't mean it's gone. I'm no doctor, but as I understand, the remission of something like cancer means it's no longer malignant or growing, but it's still present. But there's a vast difference between sins being remitted and sins being forgiven. And the Bible explains it to you in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, Peter preaches again to some Israelites. Notice in verse 12 for the context. After healing a lame man, verse 12 says, "And when Peter saw it," that was the people wondering at the healing, "he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel," there it is again, "why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And he's referring to the healing of the lame man. But notice the context in which he preaches to Jews and refers to them specifically as in a murder indictment against them, calling their fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now look at verse 17. "And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it," that is, killed the Prince of Life, "as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore." Notice the similarity in Acts 2:38. In other words, as a result of you having crucified the Lord and his Christ, though you did it in ignorance, he says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted," and that would refer to the water baptism, "that your sins may be blotted out," now watch, "when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." When is that? Verse 20. "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." The sins would not be blotted out until the times of refreshing would come from the presence of the Lord. That's going to be when he sends Jesus Christ, the restitution of all things. He's referring to a specific time in the future that's known as the Day of Atonement for Israel. You can find it in Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 20 says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever." That hasn't happened yet. That's a prophecy concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. The Redeemer came the first time, but they did not receive him. But in the new covenant of Jeremiah chapter 31, you'll find their sins will be forgiven. Notice Jeremiah chapter 31. Notice verse 31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." I don't see you in the picture. No Gentiles there. Verse 32, "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord," and those days are going to refer to the time in which you live now, the days in which God is not dealing with Israel as a nation and not dealing with them on the basis of covenant promises. I don't care what the preachers are saying on TV. Those preachers that are telling you you need to bless Israel don't know what they're talking about, and they don't rightly divide the word of truth. There's no Israel for you to bless. The group of Jews in Palestine right now are no different than any other nation, but God will deal with his people again when he comes back. But he says, after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. As of right now, they are not the people of God. According to Hosea chapter 1, they are not my people. Lo am I. But he will make this new covenant, verse 34. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. Israel today does not know the Lord. They deny the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That new covenant has not yet come to pass. It will come to pass when the Redeemer roars out of Zion. It will come to pass when the Lord returns. The times of refreshing spoken of by the prophets, and we looked at several things concerning the prophets. If you can't see anything, at least understand that Peter was referring to prophecy. The remission of sins could only be obtained through water baptism for Israelites who had to endure to the end to be saved, and then when the Lord returned, their sins would be blotted out. If you are saved right now, today, you're saved by the gospel of Christ, not the preaching of that kingdom message, but the preaching that Paul revealed, the mystery that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. If you're in Christ, you got there by the baptism of one spirit into the body, not with water. Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. If you're in Christ today, you do not have remission of sins. You've been forgiven all trespasses, according to Colossians chapter 1. You have now received the atonement, according to Romans chapter 5, and you are complete in Christ. There's nothing for you to endure to the end to obtain. When did you trust your salvation to the Lord Jesus Christ? Obeying Acts 2:38 is not going to save you. Obeying the gospel of Christ will save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Call upon him right now for your salvation.
You've been listening to Believing the Bible every Sunday morning at 7:30 a.m. on 1580 KWED. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. Grace Family Bible Church meets every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for Bible study and 11 o'clock for fellowship services at the Silver Center, 510 Court Street, here in Seguin. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.